There's something else that's bothering me. I did something that I usually don't do, is I ate before I speak. So one of two things. You know, I told people I slept before while I'm sitting, while I'm standing praying the liturgy, but I've never slept while giving a talk. So maybe this will be the first time. Yeah, I usually don't eat before I speak, so we need extra help from above. So Abuna will pray for us. And also, I need help because you also ate. So okay, so you understand what I'm talking about. We need some extra help from above, okay? Because you know the spirit and the flesh, they're against each other, okay? When one is comfortable and nice and happy, the other one is not, okay? That's what the Bible says. I'm not inventing anything. The flesh wars against the spirit. Anyways, we're not going to get into this. Let's finish our talk. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So do your best to focus and concentrate, okay? And anytime the food is just working within, you know, your system, just try to ignore that. So the first two talks, we talked about how God created us as beautiful children. And because of many factors, especially in our bringing up, we build up walls and are not able to deal with others or deal with God as who we really are and not in a natural way. And that's mainly because we don't know who we are and what we really want and why we're feeling the way we're feeling and why we're acting the way we're acting. We're not in control. Things are out of control in there. We're not aware of our inner battles, and that's a huge thing, and that's stopping something huge, which is maturity. And I talked to you about this, and I told you how many adults do you see around you and in your family who are quarreling and battling as junior high kids. A lot of them, you know, not mature spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, you name it. Because they say, once you mature spiritually, you mature in all levels. You can mature psychologically without maturing emotionally. It happens. But not, you know, but maturing spiritually will make you mature in everything. But how can I mature when I'm still in that cage and I, you know, I don't know what's going on? I hope by the end of this retreat that we have a strategy of really working more on the inside, understanding the inside, working with the inside a lot, working with ourselves, understanding ourselves more, and hopefully understanding, you know, God more, and being able to verbalize that over and over. I'll leave the verbalized thing to my wife tomorrow because, you know, women are good about verbalizing things, okay? I'm working on a problem with myself in verbalizing things. I can verbalize like what I feel, okay? So I'm going to listen as you're going to listen tomorrow. But one fatal mistake is correcting what's inside and all the insufficiencies that we talked about. It's all inside. It's 100% inside. If we try to solve it with something outside or a relationship, I'm lonely, therefore I need a relationship. Wrong. I have an identity crisis, and therefore I need someone to tell me who I am. Wrong. Why? It's an internal thing. There is no way anyone from the outside can fix something inside of you that you yourself are not able to reach. Does that make any sense? You yourself, you don't know it. You're not aware of it. How can anyone in the world fix that? I promise you, even a counselor, And I'm going to talk to you towards the end about counseling and people who go to counseling. And what is the benefit of counseling and stuff like this? No way. There are things only me can work out. There are only me can get deep down and fix it. Okay? Marriage is not the solution for these things. As a matter of fact, marriage is exactly putting like fuel on the fire. Especially when you get two people who don't know themselves and everyone is relying on the other person to make him feel better. Okay? So both of them feel bitter in the end and they tear each other apart. Why? Because I'm relying on other person to do what I'm the only human being in this universe can do and what God can only do within me. In 1 Corinthians 7:28, when it talks about marriage, one of the commentaries, okay, and I don't want to say the name of the commentary, so you don't go and get this commentary. This is this quotation only that's good in this commentary. So I'm just going to read you the quotation as it is, because it's very applicable. It says, a lot of people naively think that marriage will solve all their problems, but there are some problems that marriage cannot solve. People do think that. People do think that marriage will solve a lot of problems. And I'll tell you what, these problems, I hear it over and over and over from boys and girls, and I'm going to tell you how I see it not being solved. Number one, loneliness. Loneliness is 100% internal thing. And I promise you, I'm a marriage counselor, I'm a premarital counselor, I know that, I see that all the time. The loneliness in marriage is so horrible. It's 10 times worse than loneliness outside of marriage. Why? Because I'm still waiting for someone to do something, but he can't, and she can't, and no one can. They can touch the surface. But no way they can resolve this thing. Why? Because loneliness is coming from something internal. There is a problem. When God created Adam and Eve, they were not supposed to be lonely. They were the only ones in the whole universe. You know how boring this could be? Just him and her? Can you imagine? Just the two of them? But it's not like God. And if God created me in a certain way and knows my situation and put me, there's no way God can give me a problem that I'm not able to solve. That I need someone else other than Him to solve this. I promise you, anyone who doesn't solve the problem of loneliness before getting into marriage, it will be 10 times worse. Next, we'll explain it even more. Sexual temptation. This applies more to men than women. They think that marriage will solve sexual temptation. Absolutely not. I promise you. Ideal, you know, it's actually increased in marriage, believe it or not. It increase a lot in marriage. Why? Because he never solved this with himself or with God, and he's thinking that marriage is going to solve that. Absolutely not. Will never. Actually, temptations become even more and stronger and greater. And if this was not the case, we wouldn't see any problems with, like, you know, sexual temptations and porn and like affair, marital affair. Why all of these things? Because marriage don't solve these things. I promise you, anyone who goes into marriage with these problems will stay and will become stronger and even more. I'm not terrifying you of marriage, okay? That's not my goal. But what I'm trying to tell you is, there are internal things, external relationship will never ever solve. Whether in marriage or friendship or, you know, whatever. Number three, that's actually what the quotation of this commentary says, what marriage do not solve. One's deep emotional needs or psychological needs, like the needs of identity, like the need of me feeling needed and loved and significance. There's no way, no one in the world can give me that, except when I know that it's settled there. It's exactly if you want someone to digest the food for you. You're laughing. I promise you it's the same. It's the same. Number four, life's difficulties. That, you know, these problems and these debts will be resolved in marriage. You're right. You're right. That's not true, of course. So, he goes on and says, whether we were married or single, we have to be content with what we are and what we have. And we have to focus on Jesus to solve our problems, not on people. One person wrote this after some therapy. She said, I was always looking for love with people, which made me get hurt for the most part. I always got depressed that I didn't find fulfillment with people. I had a lot of friendships that I wanted to fill my emptiness with, but it never happened that it was filled. On the contrary, it increased, and my loneliness increased. The gap between me and God also increased because I held Him responsible for destroying my life. I felt I'm alone in a dark world. Why? I'm looking in the wrong place. You know, it's like, why God isn't helping me? When I'm looking for a good friend, He makes me fall with the worst people ever, with the worst friends. You know, I'm looking for acceptance, and He gives me someone to reject me in the end. Why is that? And, you know, I see that all the time. That something internal has to be resolved. I have to take responsibility over this with the grace of God, have to work on it and resolve it, you know, in order to grow. Same as like low self-esteem, inferiorities, anything like this, no external relationship in the world can solve that. So what's the solution? What's the solution? I told you yesterday, and I'm going to tell you today, okay? I'm going to give you some guidelines, okay? These guidelines are not supposed to fix all your problems in a week or two. Again, I said these things are long term. We build up stuff inside for many, many years. We can't change that and destroy that overnight, okay? It takes days, months, and years. Okay, of work. Not only of work in order to fix what's inside, but in order to grow. Like I'm supposed to grow always. So I'm just going to give you main guidelines in life that you keep them and you practice them on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And that's how we grow and we mature day after day. View. Okay. Any quick fix here?
No.
Any quick fix? Okay. If I, it's exactly like diet. You know, many people are lying about, you know, diet and how to, you know, lose weight over like 5 days or in a week, stuff like this. These are all lying, okay? People are just trying to make money out of this. There's no quick fix for anything. And you can do quick fix, but guess what's going to happen in a week or two? It's going to go back or worse, okay? So, now we're trying to adopt a healthy routine for healthy people to grow in, okay? For you, for your family, for your children, okay? And I promise you, when you are aware of your inside, you can read people very easily. Very easily. You look at someone, oh, He's got a problem. He's got like self-esteem issue. He's got like, you know, and of course we don't do that in order to read people. That's not the purpose. You know, I want to read myself first. You know, but once you have clarity in life. Versus, I'm trying to scream to someone and tell her, wake up, he's crazy, he's lunatic, like, don't go for him. You know what I mean? But she just can't see that. When I have clarity from inside, I can have good vision to look from the outside. Okay? And we're supposed to grow always. Where are we supposed to grow? How much are we supposed to grow? What's the limit for growth?
No.
It's unlimited. Grow and grow and grow. And we have this problem. Do you see people around you growing? Growing spiritually and in maturity? We have a huge problem with this. We don't have good examples. Sometimes I'm dying to give my children examples in the church. Look for so-and-so and be like so-and-so. Can't find many of those people. We have a problem with maturity. So we need mature people. Okay? And I promise you, this is a good way to witness to Christ. This is a good way to be like what God really wants you to be. Not what your parents want you to be, not what other people want you to be, but really what God wants you to be. Okay? It comes from two things that you practice on a regular basis. Okay? And these two go together hand in hand. Number one, I need to know myself. And number two, I need to know God. Every single day, I need to know myself more, and I need to know God more. And the more I know myself, it makes me hate myself, so I run to God. God, please save me from this monster. Okay? When God saves me, then I like myself. And I go back and I reconcile with myself. Reconcile with myself, I get closer to God more. Get closer to God more, I know myself more. It's exactly getting closer to the light. Okay? Maybe, you know, when I eat, I do all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I have a lot of stains. And, you know, if I'm in the dark area, I can't see them. But when I get closer to the light, I start to see all of this. And I see all. Getting closer to God, that's why the saints, they offer repentance more. Like Saint Arsenius, who used to cry and weep all the time. Come on, he's like a million times better than any one of us. Why would you do that? But the more you get closer to the light, the more you know yourself more. Okay? The more you become humble, believe it or not. You know, the more you know God, the more you find that you don't know Him at all. You know, it's like science. The more you know, the more you understand that you know nothing. Saint Augustine said it in a nice way. He said, I want to know myself and know God, nothing more and nothing at all. Nice? He said it in a very nice way. I want to know myself and know God, nothing more and nothing at all. Really, this is something, you know, very important, a goal for us. So, number one, how to know myself. Four things. Okay? Ready? Number one. Quietness, meditation, and solitude. And the reason why I wrote three terms, so you understand it by any means. Okay? If you understand quietness, good. It's meditation, it's solitude, it's the three of them. I can never know myself unless I'm alone with myself. If you want to talk to your friend about something important, you take your friend aside. But if you just something casual, then on the way. But if something important, I guess you take your friend on the side. Or you take this person on the side and talk to them. Same thing. You want to talk serious business with yourself? Take yourself aside. Okay? This could be the hardest thing ever. And if you haven't done that, it is the hardest thing in life. And I'm not exaggerating. Okay? If you haven't done that, In the beginning, it's like it's a nightmare. It's like sitting with a lion is more bearable than sitting with myself. Why? Because I haven't done that before. There are a lot of dark rooms. You know, there is fear always sitting with myself, especially if I haven't done that in a long time. Who is a great example in sitting with himself on a regular basis in the Bible?
Jesus.
He did that. I want to read you a verse just to let you know that this is what we want to reach. It's in John 8:14. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, the scribes and Pharisees, he said, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. I would love for you one day to say that. I know where I came from. I know who I am, and I know what I'm saying. How awesome and great if you can speak to anyone and everyone in such confidence. How amazing. How awesome that is. You can never be brave, and you can never be reach what you want to reach if you are not aware of yourself. You will never ever have the confidence to do what God wants you to do. I know myself. I know where I came from and where I'm going. Many times in the Bible, Jesus sat by himself. Everybody went to his house, and Jesus went to the mountain to pray. He went by himself. If you want to take some reference, Matthew 14:13, when Jesus heard it about John the Baptist, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Another place in Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Why? Listen. Learn. You need to be by yourself. Often. On a regular basis. Very important. Memory verse. Okay? You're going to memorize it right now. Okay? And I'm going to test you right now. Ready? You have it here. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Khalas? Should I call you out? One more time? Let's say it. In returning and rest,
you shall be saved.
In quietness
and confidence shall be your strength.
Any clear? Do we need anything more clear than this? It's an amazing verse. I love this verse. I hope you memorize it. We're talking about being in touch with yourself, what we talked about before. But, yes?
What is the first part?
In returning, retreat. You know what the word retreat? What's the meaning of retreat? Stepping back. Like I'm busy doing the stuff, taking a step back. You know, reconvene, you know. Let's step back. You know what does it mean? It's leaving something important. To do something very, very important. Leaving the good to do something great. Have you ever read this book? Leaving something good to do something great. You always do good things. But we want to do greater things. I want to get some water and sprinkle all of you so you can wake up. Can you stand and stretch? How's that? And maybe if we lower the temperature, I'm sure you're going to be awake. I'm sure you're going to be awake.
You can open up a curtain.
Abuna's giving you some warmth, by the way. In returning and rest. You know that we always break one of the Ten Commandments every single week, which is the Sabbath. You know? is actually God gave you, like, the best people who are doing that, they're overdoing it, of course. You know, the Jewish people, when they take the Sabbath and they get someone to press the elevator for them because they're not supposed to do it, they overdo it. But to tell you the truth, that's what is giving you to rest and press a reset button here. When is the last time you did a reset here? How many times you need to reset your phone or your computer or whatever it is? How about this? How about this? They need a reset button. And God said weekly, you gotta do this weekly. The problem is, this is so hard because we are in a distracted and in a world that's full of distraction. Do you know that all of us have a sickness called ADD? I am the first one. Someone told me, you know, when you send me an email, I get like 5 ringers going on. I felt very special. I said, wow, that's great. How do you do that? He said, you know, when I get, you know, it's my phone rings first, and then my BlackBerry, and then the iPod, and then the desk, and the laptop, and then the desktop, all of them ring when you send me an email. I said, yeah, but how does it recognize it's my email? He says, no, it rings with every single email. Of course, I didn't feel special after that. But I felt horrible for this guy. What is this? C'est la vie. Okay? This is the world that we are living in. Okay? Unless you go against that, you're going to go crazy. There's time you must shut off your phone and your computer and your Facebook. You know? You know, except whenever we have a contest, you know, you can turn it on. But you gotta turn this off. You gotta turn this off. So, practically speaking, okay, 3 things, okay, that I regularly do, and I ask people in confession to do, and I'm going to ask you to do. Okay? Daily quiet time. I'm going to explain later on. And number 2, weekly extended quiet time. Monthly personal retreat. Okay? I promise you, you cannot survive without these. These are not things to make you a better Christian. These are things to make you a normal human being. Okay? I promise you, when you're doing this, you're not doing anything extra, or you become a saint, or 2 wings are going to pop up out of you. Nothing of this is going to happen. Daily quiet time is, you know, usually you do this in the morning before you do anything in life. Just take some time. You read part of the Word of God. You just sit quietly and meditate on God's Word. And some people do it in the evening, okay? But in the evening is a waste of time because your mind is so distracted. Preferably in the morning, you sit, you give as much time as you can. As little as 15 minutes and as long as 1 hour, okay? Without that, there is no way you can know what's going on in your life, okay? In the beginning, it's going to be torture. It's going to be hard. And I know some of you are not morning people, and you wake up, you know, and you wake up after, like, your work starts and stuff like this. You got to do something with it. You got to do something. You got to figure a way. You know, there's no way around it. But if you don't learn that, in the beginning, you need to get the habit of sitting by yourself. Forget a bit about the daily quiet time now. You got to do that no matter what. You got to, you know, get used to it. Let's focus a little bit more on extended weekly quiet time. Perfect time is Saturday. Saturday, you take 1 hour, 2 hours, no phones, no people, no human beings, no nothing. You and your Bible, and your journal. You're thinking, you're praying, you're writing. When you get bored of those, you do them again. You're praying, you're thinking, and you're writing. When you sit with yourself first, you're going to be bored to death. The kind of silence or solitude that I'm telling you about is more listening than talking. And by the way, this is the Orthodox way of prayer. Anyone here read Beginning to Pray for Anthony Bloom? Ever heard that name, Bishop Anthony Bloom? You know, he's a good bishop, Orthodox bishop, who wrote like about prayer. And he said, the first thing in prayer, I'm sitting in this position so I can cover it. Yeah. Maybe you can change position. So, or maybe it's the inner eye. We're talking about the inner eye now, okay? Forget about the external, okay? We're focusing on the internal now. So, the most important thing is listening. Okay? Have you ever listened to God? Have you ever listened to God before? I'll tell you how this works, okay? And I'm not crazy, okay? It's something, as I said, Anthony Bloom says it, the fathers of the church says it. And that's supposed to be actually the first step in prayer. You're listening, so you're sitting in quietness, thinking about nothing, praying about nothing. Just sitting in a very boring way. Okay? After a few minutes, you're going to go out of your mind. You're going to be bored. You want to do something. You're restless. The ADD kicks in. All of this. And the boredom keeps increasing until a breaking point, whether it overcomes you and you leave, and it really happens. People leave, or you overcome this breaking point, and right after that, the door of heaven opens. And then you find God is speaking to you. Speaking to you as I am speaking to you. You'll find yourself thinking about things never crossed your mind before. Never read about before. Things that, you know, not even in your mind or in the back of your mind or anything like this. Of course, they're good things, they're positive things, they're holy things, they're from God. You'll find yourself praying for people that, you know, not even in your mind. But it's silence. It's the solitude. You know, the fathers of the church spoke about solitude a lot. We're missing that. That's why we can't hear ourselves. We can't hear God. There's nothing internal at all. When I want to pray, when I want to become spiritual, why do I do? I want to pray. I want to listen to a sermon. I want to go to church. All these are external. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Can you find the kingdom of God outside of you? No. It is inside. It is internal. Okay? So inside, you're going to find yourself. Inside, you're going to find God for sure. Is it easy? No. It's very hard. And it's going to take a lot of training and a lot of failure. It's okay. And you're going to leave, as I told you. You're going to say, Abuna is a liar. You know, this doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. You're going to leave. That's fine. But try again and again until you get it. Without that, you will never be able to know yourself or know God. You got it? Every single day, daily quiet time, weekly extended quiet time, okay, 1 hour, 2 hour, whatever it is, and monthly a personal retreat. You take one day in a beautiful place like this with no one else. Okay? It's good to be a retreat together. Personal retreat, just you and God. You can pray, you can read, and then pray and read and listen, and then pray, read and listen. And when I go to a personal retreat, the worst half an hour is the first half an hour. When I sit in silence, I want to kill myself. I hate going because of the first half an hour. Because I'm ADD, I want to do a lot of things, there is a lot on my mind. It takes me at least half an hour to quieten all of this and all the projects and the loans and the banks and the money and the people and responsibilities and the service and the people that they want to kill themselves and kill each other and the suicide and all of this. To quieten all this takes a long time. After this, give me a pen and a paper and I can write you books. Books. Okay? Where are these coming from? I want to kill myself, I want to quit, And after half an hour, heaven is open, life is good, and God is good, everything is fine. Kingdom of God is within you. Okay? Number two. So what's number one? Meditation and solitude. To tell you the truth, this needs a talk by itself to tell you how to do quiet time, quietness. Go read about it, practice it, do something about it. I can't spend more time in that. Number two, reading. Okay, it has to be three. Reading. Why am I focusing on that? Because we are horrible in reading, that's number one. Number two, we convince ourselves that we can change without reading. If you think you can change without reading, it is impossible. Good luck. Okay? Good luck. Go do it, it'll never happen. You will never ever change without reading. Let me give you an example. A couple have a disaster in their marital relationship or have a disaster with their kid. I give them a book. 1 week passes, 2, 3. Did they read it? No. Disaster. They think we can do it without reading. If they really think that the solution is going to be in this book, they would have read it, but they didn't. Same, we do the same. When I talk about reading, knowing yourself, of course I'm talking about reading the Bible. We know that. I don't want to convince you with that. We know that we need to read for, commentaries, the fathers, the spirituality. I don't want to convince you with that. But I want to convince you with reading more. If you want to know yourself, read books that talk about human beings. There are signs about that. Psychology is all about that. Sociology is about that. Why do we have to invent the wheel? If you want to know how you think, just go and check. Anyone here know the desk theory? The ISC? Anyone heard about it? Disc, the ISC? Okay, there's something really, really cool, really interesting to tell you who you are and the people around you who they are. Okay, maybe in the free time, if anyone is interested, I can tell you about it. Basically, God creates us in four kinds of personality. There is the D, the I, the S, and the C. Okay, and there are four characters of the Bible that represents that. D is the dominator, the leader. That's St. Paul. Okay, actually, it's not a spiritual, it's actually a psychological, and then the adopted the characters of the Bible to that. S is the steady. It's like Abraham doesn't want to move, and God to move him out of his land, it took like a while. The I, the initiator, or the like the people person. Who loves people, who loves to talk, and it's like Peter personality. He's always talking. Nobody talked in the Bible more than Peter, okay? Talkative people, they don't do anything, but they talk a lot, okay? They're good people, but this is their personality. And then the C is the perfectionist, and let's put it this, only perfectionist is like Moses, is a great example of that. He was perfectly, he talks perfect, and when God told him to talk to Pharaoh, he said, I don't talk. So what do you do right now? Okay, he's a perfectionist. Anyways, if you know who you are, what kind of personality you are, what the personality of the people that you are dealing with, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, and that's part of their personality. There are things in you you will never be able to change. That's how God created you. And there are things that you have to change. Okay? That's why you got the serenity prayer, or you haven't?
Yeah.
You got this. It's a beautiful prayer. It's about that. There are things to change. There are things you hate about yourself. You will never be able to change. You got to accept it. Learn how to accept that. And there are things that you must change. Because sometimes I'm banging my head in the wall to change something that God created in me and will never change. If you're a people person, you can never be a monk or a nun or be on the side, or, you know, you can't be in a planning committee. You need to be in a marketing committee. You need to be on a front, you know, lines and stuff like this. It's even a way to know where to serve and what to do. We don't know about it. We need to read things like this. Why do I have to invent the wheel? Read about it. Just read about it. Okay? In order to convince you with that, I give you some verses from St. Paul to Timothy, his disciple, where it says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress, maturity, growth, may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." A beautiful thing. Ready for a beautiful thing? No?
Yes.
Okay. St. Paul, in the very, 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 very end of his life, he asked his disciple Timothy to bring him some stuff. Okay? I'm going to read you what he asked him to bring, and also a part of a commentary about that. You ready? So he told, "Bring the cloak that I left with Scarpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." So Paul said to Timothy, "Bring me my books. I need my library. I need my library." Read the commentary. I want someone that was good reading, yani action, kida way to read this part. Had the kida volunteer.
Read this?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. He is inspired.
St. Paul is inspired. Sorry.
No, it's okay. He is inspired, yet he wants books. He has been preaching at least 30 years, yet he wants books. He's seen the Lord, yet he wants books. He's had a wider experience than most men, yet he wants books. He's been caught up to heaven and has heard things that are unlawful to utter, yet he wants books. He's written a major part of the New Testament, yet he wants books. So he's always striving for more.
If St. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, want books,
then we need
to jump in off the cliff. Of course, he didn't mean that the Old Testament, the Bible, had books. St. Paul was reading books. Okay? And not just the spiritual books, but all kind of books. You know? He wrote, he was a philosopher. He was about philosophy. Why not? Reading these, because these things talk about men and human beings. You know, to discover, you know, who I am. So I beg you to give attention to this, as St. Paul said to his disciple Timothy. Okay? Number 3. At least we flipped the page. It's good news. Okay? We're getting there. Khafush, I'm not going to take much longer. I take that back. Number 3. Analytical and deep thinking. analytical and deep thinking. Can never have number three without having number one and number two first. You know what's the best interesting thing in the world? Is to ask a good question. And ask a tough question. If you want to understand the Bible, ask tough questions. If you want to understand God, ask tough questions. If you want to understand yourself, ask tough questions. Why? Why do I do that? Why does God say that? Why did it say in the Bible? Why specifically? How? When? Where? Who is this? Okay? But not just asking the Sunday school questions, but like good questions, tough questions, the right questions, as I say. The analytical and deep thinking will never come by itself unless you read something. Do you know what's a good book? You know how you realize that you're reading is a good book? When you're reading, okay, you're reading, and all of a sudden, you can't go anymore. So you put it down, and you look like this, and you start thinking about what you just read. That's a good book. Get five of those. Okay, that's a good book. Yeah, Zach, like a Saidi, you know, he found like the newspaper cheap, so he got five of them. Anyways, a good book. A good book. Newspaper on a sale, so you got five, you know. A good book makes you think. And think deep thinking, not superficial, shallow things. Deep things, answering and writing. Some people will never be able to think deep without writing. That's why in all your quiet time, you need to have your Bible and you need to have your journal or notebook and write. Write. Very, 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 very important. All the amazing people in life, they were always writing. They left us their legacy very, very clear in their writings. And if you're not reading, as I said, you will never be able to come up with these questions. Number four, asking for guidance or counseling. Asking for guidance. If you were advised before to go to counseling, before doing these first three, it's nonsense. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. 90% of the issues could be solved between me and God in quietness and in the books, okay, and in thinking. Again, it's an internal thing. It takes a lot of time. Actually, you know what the counselor usually do? He asks you tough questions. If you go to counseling, if you know what counseling is, you know, like sometimes because I do counseling, I ask someone a question that he never ever expected or thought about in his entire life. He said, I never thought of this. I get this, I never thought of this, like a million times every day. Why? Because I ask deep questions to make this person look into this. Okay, I would like for you to think about this and let me know. I want you to write this. I want you to write your thinking. That's why I give you the exercise that I gave you before. Very important. Will let you think about yourself and what's inside of you before verbalizing it. At least I need to know it. The next step is to verbalize it, as I said. That's what we're going to learn tomorrow. If you cannot solve it on your own, with the books, with the quietness, then you ask for guidance and counseling because you worked very hard and stopped in a little area. So the counselor comes and he solves this little area. But if you expect him to solve all the problems in your life, then, you know, it's you know, it's a misconception. Sorry, Angie.
Oh, I just wanted to ask, what if this happened with ourselves, but with somebody else that we're very close to, and like say they go through something like dramatic, and they get diagnosed with depression, Like, how do you know the fine line between, like, you have your diagnosis with depression, or it's just a spiritual thing?
I want to tell you that, you know, most of us have some kind of depression because of the stress that we're going through. Like, if anyone is a pharmacist here, other than 2-3 pharmacists? Okay. If you work in a pharmacy, how many pills do you get for you know, like, yeah, it's like Xanax, for example. Like, you get Tylenol that much, and you get Xanax that much. Okay, you know, to you know, that's Xanax for an anxiety. Like, all of us are going through this, but only doctors or counselors can tell me if this is something that I'm going through, that everyone is going through, or this is something clinical and more deep, and it needs more work.
Some doctors okay. just say you are depressed.
Because
like, if somebody comes to me and says, you know, I've been diagnosed with depression, you know, and I know all their traumatic experiences, but like, I mean, as a friend or somebody, I don't know how to like advise them. You know, maybe it's something. I can't say it's spiritual. I can't say that to somebody. But
you can't, and it's actually a wrong answer if you say it's a spiritual.
That's why I.
Because when you say spiritual, you're putting even more pressure on them.
Yeah.
So you're depressing them even more.
I know, but the thing is, like, I don't know how therapists are, and I don't know where that fine line is.
Like. Maybe how about we leave this question till the end, and I want to answer it, and I want to tell you exactly how, like I want to focus for you what to do with yourself. With others, like, it depends on many, many, many factors. Like, what I usually do with people in the beginning, I give them some stuff to do. And if they don't do it, and I tell them, this is the first step. Second step, and I'm going to give you something else. Third step is doctor and medications. So they strive so much to finish number one and number two. And basically number one and number two is what I'm saying here. Okay? When is the last time you took a day off? When is the last time you sat with yourself and with God? When is the time you read a book? Okay? Go and do this. If you don't do that, and if you don't improve by this, then I'm sending you. If he really does this and doesn't improve, then it's clinical. It's more, you know, it's the chemistry. Someone was telling me that they're studying the chemistry of the brain and, you know, what goes on. So it's a chemical imbalance that, you know, even therapy, if there's a chemical imbalance, therapy doesn't work with that. Like some sicknesses, they don't need even counseling. You know, because it's like schizophrenic. There's no counseling for schizophrenic. Some little, but they're all medications, chemical imbalance. So, yani, it needs some kind of... I think Amba Yusuf has a good talk about how to differentiate, right, Abuna? How to diagnose...
That's his area.
His area, yeah. I'm talking about this, actually, about these things in the Daisamba Yusuf. I'm in the wrong place here. So, you know, I ask people to do this first. Asking for guidance or counseling, as I said, doesn't come as the first thing. You know, again, I'm doing that because I'm lame and I don't want to sit with myself and I don't want to find out. No, I got to do my homework first because otherwise I'm going to be wasting my time and my money. The second is, how do I know God more? It's basically more or less the same, and even the same four steps, you know. And you will be surprised, it's almost the same thing. Number one is quietness, meditation, and solitude. Okay? And that's how, you know, I know God more. Anyone read The Imitation of Christ?
Yes.
Thomas Kempis. This is, you know, this is a beautiful book. He says here, watch for good times to retreat into yourself. Frequently meditate on how good God is to you. Meditation on the character of God. The character of God. We don't know who God is. What is His character? What is He like? You know, we need, we'll never be able to reach that except in quietness and meditation, because the kingdom of God is within you. You can never find Him except in sight. Number two, continuous analytical reading and studying God's Word. Number two is studying God's Word. Number two, in knowing yourself, I talked about reading. Here, God's Word. God's Word, God's Word. You want to know God? It's the Bible. Not just reading the Bible, but studying the Bible, meditating on the Bible. Studying the Bible. Anyone have used like a handbook for the Bible? Anyone have seen like a handbook for the Bible? I really encourage you to get any of these books. You read just the introduction. Oh my goodness, it gives you a lot of clarity. You won't need a commentary after that. We always take the easy way. I want to listen to someone explaining the Bible. I promise you, once you find something out with your book and your Bible and your reading and your underlining and your writing, will never go away from your mind or from your heart. Okay? It's something else other than just listening to it. You had a question, sorry.
No, I just wanted to tell you.
Okay, sorry. And number three is thinking always of application. Thinking always of application of what you read. Thinking of how to apply God's Word. How to see God in things. How to live the Bible. Not just read the Bible, but live the Bible. Asking questions. You want to understand the Bible? Ask tough questions. But ask tough questions that you can answer. Okay, so still quietness or meditation, you know, reading God's Word. And number three is thinking of application and asking tough questions. And number four, spiritual guidance. Instead of counseling, now, do you see the parallel between the two? Instead of asking for guidance or counseling, now, spiritual guidance. Whether a spiritual father, father of confession, or we used to have back then in our days, a spiritual guide. Spiritual guide. It's a different person than a spiritual confession father. Someone maybe older, you know, in the church. Someone experienced in the spiritual life. And I get, you know, some spiritual advices and counseling. But before reading my word, before spending time in quietness with God, then it will be, you know, impossible. The more you discover inside, the more you're going to be depressed. It says here, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Don't do it. No. That's why it's impossible to know yourself without knowing God. If I tell you just focus on yourself, think about yourself, it is very depressing if you do that. But thank God I have a Savior. I have a loving God. I have someone who loves me, who cares for me, who's always there for me. You know, meditating on His character, meditating on His gifts, on His beauty, how He's responding to me, how He's answering me, how He's talking to me. You know, these things always give us, and the promises of God, I will take care of you. Today, these things have been done in your hearing. Beautiful promises of God. In the end, what we've talked about so far is about working more internal, okay, in order to be wise. And we don't do this, the internal thing, without God. We're not talking about psychology here, okay? We're talking about knowing myself in the presence of God. Or knowing myself from God's perspective, okay? And as it says in the book of Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need this wisdom from God, from His book, from the Bible. we can't live without that. Can't live without wisdom. Would like to see more wise people. I like you to be guides and counselors. I like you to be mountains. Children of the Lord as like Mount Zion, who cannot be shaken. When can he be unshakable? No matter what happens. No matter what happens around you. The church needs you to be mountains. The mountains surround Jerusalem. The mountains surround Jerusalem. The church is full of mountains. We need a lot of this. Despite how we were brought up, despite your background, can you start all over or not? My favorite person in doing his mission and doing a great mission for God in a very old age, no matter how old he is Abuna Zakaria Butrus. This man who like explained Islam to the Muslims started his mission at 75 years old. Regardless if you like his way or you don't like his way, if you like his ministry or if you don't like his ministry, facts are a lot of people believed because of him. Facts are he started this mission at 75 years old. Can you say it's too late? I assume he's in his 80s now. So what I'm trying to tell you is you still can do it. Okay? Because the devil may tell you, well, I wish I've done that earlier. That's a wrong response. But we want to be mountains for God. But this will never be done externally. It's never going to come outside of your room. It's never going to come outside of your room. You see the church and how the church is full of people? But they're all sick, they're all needy, they're all dependent on Abuna, on a church. My heart is aching because I have a lot of people and they are burdened to me. Versus the church supposed to be very, very, very strong, go overtake the world outside. In Nama, the church now is like a sinking ship. You know, it's exactly as a fish tank. Okay? And the fish, they're just fighting with each other. And instead of spreading in the sea and growing and multiplying. Okay? Fighting with each other. Eating each other alive. How many problems do we see within the church? Within the one family. You know, the couples together. This is destroying the church. When St. Paul spoke about the church in Ephesians, he spoke about marriage. You have a strong marriage, you have a strong relationship, you have a strong house, it makes a strong church. A stronger church overtakes the world. We want to see that. Which I seem bad. We want to see depressed people and weak people and handicapped people. Enough of that. We know more. We know better. We have a Savior. We have a good God who's encouraging us and supporting us. Okay? But we need to do our part. Okay? Stop complaining. Take responsibility over your feelings. Take responsibility over your action. This is my fault. This is my... I don't want to say my fault. I don't like this word. But I like the word my responsibility. I gotta take this. I gotta make this under control. I gotta do my part. Okay, so let's just put this in our heart and our mind. Okay, I don't want you to be weak, and I don't want you to wait for a weaker guy to make you even weaker. Okay, I don't want that. I don't want that. St. Paul said something very, very nice. He said, even the unbelief, the unbeliever man, the man who's not believing, he will be sanctified in the believing woman. Okay? Yeah. and like this. Okay? This is the way. You like it? You like it. You don't like it? Go out of my face, boy. Okay? This is the way. You like it? You like it. You don't like it? Out of here, boy. Can you say that? Can you say that? Good. This is how I like my girls to be. All right?
Yes.
Glory be to God. Any questions?
When you were talking earlier about knowing yourself, and you said we need steps 1 through 3 before we can get to 4, is it the same way with knowing God more? Do you need to have 1, 2, and 3 before you can go?
Absolutely.
To
absolutely.
Now, don't follow up question. I was always under the impression that you always need to keep yourself in check. So when I'm by myself meditating, talking to myself, not to myself, but you know, meditating with God and spending time with God and with the Word and reading and all that stuff, I need to keep myself in check. So I'm kind of bouncing ideas off of my guide that I trust or my spiritual father.
True.
So wouldn't that kind of happen simultaneously, or wouldn't you maybe start off by throwing, like, I don't see.
I promise you, 99% of the things that I say in confession, they are in books. And most of the time.
Sometimes you need to, like, think out loud to see, okay, am I the only one thinking this way? Am I thinking in the wrong direction? And I kind of need to throw ideas off of someone to keep me.
I would love the attitude to be, let me get a book about prayer and let me read the book first, and whatever the book doesn't answer, I bounce to, you know, the spiritual father or the spiritual guide. But let me do my part first. And the beautiful thing is, the beautiful, beautiful thing, ask God a question and wait for the answer. Oh my God, this is the best thing. Okay, let me take off recording here and tell you something that I like. Okay? 'Cause